Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Dragged it. It's Slim. Finally coming back to do a podcast.
Hi. I showed up for work today.
Yeah. You're running out of days, brother.
Out of attendance points?
Yes.
I'm going to get written up soon. Fuck. Who's Spyro the Enforcer?
Look at him. He's already giving you the side eye.
He knows.
Boy ain't playing.
You're on your last thin ice. You're on thin ice with hot skates, mister. That's what my dad used to say.
Okay.
So, you know what's wild about this? You know that song, 1985, by Bowling for Soup?
1985, yeah.
Yeah. They made that song in 2002.
Okay.
If they made it today... they made that song in 2004. If they made that song today, it would be called 2002. Be a song about 2002. How fucking weird is that?
What?
That's uncomfortable.
I don't know. That confused me.
So in 2002, they made a song 18 years prior called 1985, talking about how different the time was. If they made that song today, they would be talking about 2004 or 2002, one or the other.
Are you high right now?
No.
Wow. You could have fooled me. Speaking of high shit, you know how you be like off the Hennessy and shit?
Mm-hmm.
Imagine like unlimited hordes of Slims each off a bottle of Hennessy. You got like a fucking katana. How many do you think you could kill?
Of my own?
Yeah, like of yourself.
How much Hennessy?
A whole bottle each.
Oh, man. Am I off Hennessy?
No, you can be if you want, I guess. If you think
yeah, give me a couple shots, then I'm going hundreds. Just till my arms get tired.
Yeah, I was thinking I could probably kill like 400.
Yeah, that's pretty solid. I mean, they might all fall on you at once, and you might just get
if they all
suffocated.
Just happen to stumble at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Possible.
All fall on their face, cause an earthquake. Boom.
Yo, just so you guys know, apologies on Twitter. I already gave them, but I wasn't able to tweet this PFL card that's happening as we speak. The main card coming out, so...
Why does that Russian patch look so afterthought?
We didn't get to preview this card, but me and Slim did put our picks in, so we're still keeping track of all that good stuff. We just didn't get to preview Kayla Harrison versus Gina Fabian. Both of us took Kayla Harrison, just so you know.
Had to. Come on now.
But yeah, my bad on not being... I was going to preview that last night. I got a little bit wrapped up, and then yeah, today for the Twitter, I wasn't able to cover it because I had softball practice, and then here I am recording with Slim.
Monty, sports guy.
Big sports guy.
Big sports guy. Big time, long time.
First time, long time.
Did you see that Miro shit? What did he put on the Miro, the Morpheus glasses?
No.
Someone quoted it. I was like, what if I told you you could eat spaghetti at the beach?
That's some silly shit.
It's goofy.
All right. Well, as you know, this is an MMA-centric podcast, which leads us into our thing we always start the show with. It's MMM. MMA news with Slim. Do 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 do.
This keeps getting longer every time. We're gonna have like a 10-minute piece of that next.
We'll get there eventually.
Like fucking D. Samara, you just keep adding on
every time.
Yeah, every time. All right. So Tatiana Suarez is out of her fight with Talia Santos.
Bro, and steps I forgot homie Roxy has a third nipple.
Oh yeah,
that is the. That's not all right. I'm like, sorry.
Where did it come from?
I'm sorry. The three nipples is just.
Damn, it's really a full ass nipple too. It's not like a big mole. She just has like the same body except for the nipple.
Motherfucker's got udders.
All right. Roxy Montefiore and Talia Santos?
Yeah. That'll be a good matchup.
Cool. Mana Martinez and Guido Canetti? Is old ass getting back in there?
Yeah.
Omar Morales and Jonathan Pierce?
That's a good one. I like that.
Nina Nunes and Amanda Lemos.
Okay.
It's all the way in December. Damn, they're booking far now. What else do we got here? That is the Bellator one coming up October 1st. There was like some news that Paddy Pimblett's UFC debut was off, but it is not.
Better not be.
No, he's still going. Mitya Sirkunov's fighting Christoph Jotko.
Let's go.
I like that. This dude, Trevin Jones, dude. He's on like his fifth opponent now. He's fighting that cat.
Saad Yakub.
Krakhmanov, yeah.
So Mana Martinez was out of that fight, and then you already got another one announced?
I don't know. I don't even know.
Trevin Jones can't catch a break.
No, he's had more fights get taken away than he's fought in the UFC. Dan Hooker and Nasser Haqparast.
Let's go. That's what I like to hear right there.
I like it. Do you think Hooker's taking a step back there?
Oh, well, yeah, for sure. But good opportunity for Haqparast and a good opportunity for Hooker to show that he is still in the elite.
Yeah.
Still.
Tony Gravely and Nate Maness.
Yeah.
Justin James got cut by the UFC Guitar Hero
on his birthday,
and he lost all that money. That's savage. Savage. Mason Jones and Alan Patrick. That's some heat.
They what happened? That fight happened already, and it was like a no contest.
Oh, they're running it back.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, they are. That's right. Cool.
Ooh, Goltsov's getting clacked up.
Check out this motherfucker's name. I want to see if you can say this.
That's Karamwali. Karamwali. Maima Ititiwati.
Isn't that wild?
Maima Ititiwati. Yikes.
Yeah, he's from China. He's fighting on Contender Series on week 5.
Can't wait for Contender Series to come back.
Yeah. Dude said, best of luck to Bisping, Felder, and Fitzgerald, whoever else wants to say this name.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's a lot. I don't think I really have much more.
I didn't know Delija's got Mirko Krokop in his corner. That's dope.
Nice. Yeah, no, I'm pretty much it. Like Zabaira too. Your favorite Zabaira Tukugov and Ricardo Ramos.
He doesn't want to see me. I feel like you're missing a lot on this, but I'm going to let you skip because
you think.
Yeah, I feel like there was more shit too.
I don't think so.
Not like fight announcements. That's all. That's all.
Just
fight
news. I know. Well, no, because I just forget the other stuff. You know.
Okay. All right, so last week I broke down, or I didn't break down, but I gave you guys the previews for three cards. I talked about the one championship card. Edward Fuliang ended up getting scraped up, so not too much happened there in that one championship card. There was a stunning knockout by Roni Supatra, but other than that, yeah, not too exciting of a card. And then the Alan Ngalani and... what was dude's name? Narmo fight that ended up being a no contest because they just kept kicking each other in the nutties. Mm. And then Narmo will be fighting Buchecha, the BJJ legend, as his next fight. So I'm excited for that one.
Nice.
All right. But I also talked to you guys about Bellator 264. So let's go ahead and get into this one a little bit. I was at jiu-jitsu for these first five fights. So I didn't get to watch them, but I got the results for you guys here. John McNeil defeated Orlando Mendoza via TKO due to punches 3 minutes and 57 seconds into the third round. And another catchweight bout, Jeffrey Glossner defeated Sebastian Ruiz via unanimous decision, 29-28, 29-28, 29-28. I forgot to give records. Glossner improved his record to 4-2 overall. Sebastian Ruiz is now 2-4. We now move on to the women's featherweight division, where we had Pam Sorensen making her Bellator debut. She snuck out a split decision victory over Roberta Paim Samad. It was Pam Sorensen who got that split decision nod. 2-29-28 scorecards in her favor, and then one for Roberta Samad. That was your preliminary card, which you could have watched on YouTube or Pluto TV. Moving on to the main card, which was on Showtime in the middleweight division. A little bit of an upset here. It was Kadzimirat Bestayev who defeated Ty Werder. Both these guys are always going for the stoppage, so I was really surprised to see this one go to decision how it did. But nonetheless, Kadzimirat Bestayev sneaks out that unanimous decision victory, 29-28, all across the board. Kadzimirat Bestayev improves his record to 11-4 overall. Ty Werder falls to 5-3. On to the next one in the heavyweight division. This one did not take too long. Davion Franklin, 3-0, taking on Everett Cummings, 15-0, with a 5-0 amateur record as well. And Davion Franklin, the much more inexperienced fighter, goes out there and knocks him out in 21 seconds. Ending That's Everett nuts. Cummings' 20-fight unbeaten streak. Davion Franklin, now 4-0 overall. Everett Cummings falls to 15-1 with that 21-second knockout. What a performance by Davion Franklin.
Oh, because Cummings has been fighting cans.
Yeah. Rather a big upset here. In the bantamweight division, it was Magomed Magomedov taking on Rafion Stotts. And who would have thought Rafion Stotts went out there and just dominated with the grappling? I wasn't expecting that one at all. You know, a lot of people were talking a lot of shit about Rafion Stotts, so I'm happy to see him go out here and put together a great performance like he did. He had two judges' scorecards, 30-27, one judge, 29-28. Rafion Stotts improves his overall record to 17-1. Magomed Magomedov falls to 18-2.
Did you see Rafion talking about how he's the best bantamweight right now? And Peter Yan commented on it?
Yeah.
He said, "You got slept by decision machine, Marab." Ouchies.
Moving on to the welterweight division, the co-main event of the evening. Dominant performance here by the former champion, Andrei Koroshkov. Just went out there and had Saba Hamasi in deep water the entire time. It was just a great performance there by Andrei Koroshkov. He was in control the entire time and led him to an easy victory there. 30-26. Koroshkov improves his overall record to 24-4 overall. Saba Humasi is now 15-10. We now move on to the main event of the evening. A lot of people were excited about this fight. It was Gegard Mousasi, the champ, taking on John Salter. Mousasi defending his middleweight championship. First round, it was a good job by John Salter. I thought he got the better of Mousasi in that round. He was more active. He had the takedowns. And then second round, he kind of just looked like he gassed out a little bit. And Mousasi started taking control there in the second round. It was almost stopped at the end of the round. Luckily, Salter survived. But it didn't take too long into the third round for Mousasi to get that top control again and just start pouring on just so many ground and pound punches. It was pretty dominant there by Gegard Mousasi, overcoming that, you know, struggle in the first round. So Gegard Mousasi defeats John Salter via TKO due to punches 2:07 into the third round. Gegard Mousasi now 48-7-1. John Salter now 18-5. And then it was announced after this that Gegard Mousasi will be taking on Austin Vanderford for his middleweight championship. What do you think about that, Slim?
I thought Vanderford was a welterweight.
Mind your business.
Okay. Yeah, no. Vanderford's nice.
You think Mousasi takes that one, though? Or Vanderford?
I don't know. I don't think Vanderford's been tested like that.
No. All right. Well, that was Bellator 264. Mousasi retains his belts. Let's go ahead and move on to this PFL card. Me and Slim had a good amount of disagreements here on this one, and I smoked that fool. Rolled him up and smoked him. Let's start with the disagreement right here. In the first round, oh, he got up and left. Oh, he's getting a tissue. He's crying. In the very first fight, it was Elvin Espinoza taking on Hopeton Stewart. I had Espinoza. Slim had Stewart. And it was just the ground game of Espinoza. It was a little bit too overwhelming there for Hopeton Stewart. Espinoza ended up sinking in a rear naked choke. 2:45 into the very first round, Elvin Espinoza improves his record to 6-0. Hopeton Stewart fell to 5-2. What a performance here in the welterweight division. Kyron Bowen was taking on Michael Lombardo. And Michael Lombardo, dude, landed, I think it was something like 3 to 5 leg kicks. I can't remember exactly how many. And he still got a leg kick TKO. He even, when he dropped Bowen with one of the leg kicks, he kind of ran up and punched him in that same spot a couple times. A very interesting move. You don't see too many leg punches there when somebody's trying to stack you into their guard. So pretty interesting stuff there. But Michael Lombardo, hell of a performance, man. Got the TKO due to leg kicks, 3:42 into the very first round. Michael Lombardo now 12-2 overall, and Kyron Bowen falls to 9-7. We now, Spyro, why'd you do that, buddy? All right, we now move on to a fight that was contested at a catchweight due to Leandro Silva missing weight. This was a pretty interesting fight, man. Leandro Silva's hands were looking really good, but in the end, Umalatov's grappling was the deciding factor. Umalatov defeats Leandro Silva via unanimous decision. The judges had the scorecards in favor of Umalatov, all 29-28. And then Umalatov now 11-0 overall. Leandro Silva falls to 25-10. On to this next prelim, another disagreement here by A&A MMA. I had Brett Cooper, Slim had Tyler Hill, and holy shit, Brett Cooper ended up becoming a meme because you ever seen that meme of, what's the mom's name from The Simpsons? Marge or something like that? And she's like throwing the uppercut?
Yeah.
Yeah, they put Brett Cooper side by side to that, and it was pretty perfect. Brett Cooper goes out there, gets the TKO due to punches. That was 2:32 into the very first round. Brett Cooper, 28-15 overall. Tyler Hill falls to 10-6, and Slim falls to 0-2. On to the next one. Big weight miss here by Daryl Horcher, and it didn't matter at all because Olivier Aubin-Mercier cruised to a victory in this one. Wasn't in danger at all. One judge had it 30-26, one judge had it 29-28, one judge had it 29-27, all in favor of Olivier Aubin-Mercier.
Wait, there was a 30-26 and a 29-28?
Yes.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and then Aubin-Mercier is now 13-5 overall, and then Daryl Horcher is now 14-5. We move on to the featured preliminary bout here, and this was easy work for Gleison Tebow. He was taking on Micah Terrell and ended up getting the fight to the ground quickly and sunk in an arm triangle choke. Got the submission quickly, 2:18 into the very first round. Gleison Tebow is now 36-15 overall. Micah Terrell is now 15-9. We move on to the main card, four fights to see who goes to the finals in the welterweight and lightweight divisions to fight for $1 million. In the first one, another disagreement here by A&A MMA, and another one that I got. Loic Radzibov and Alex Martinez fighting for the second time this season, and it was Radzibov who ended up exacting revenge over Alex Martinez. Defeated him due to a unanimous decision. The judges had the scorecards 30-27, 30-27, 29-28, all in favor of Loic Radzibov. He advances to the 155-pound championship to see who he faces in the 155-pound weight class. We have Roush Manfio taking on Clay Collard. Little bit of controversy here in this one. A lot of people thought that it was Clay Collard that won. You know, I did think Manfio definitely, you know, had it close, but I had it 29-28 in favor of Collard. I was actually pretty surprised to see that Manfio ended up winning this one. I thought it was a little bit of a robbery, but hey, we've been seeing that all year with PFL, so you just got to know that the unexpected will happen. Roush Manfio defeats Clay Collard via unanimous decision, 29-28 across the board. Roush Manfio now 14-3 overall. Clay Collard falls to 20-9. We move on to the welterweights, and it is former champion Magomillions, Magomed Karimov, taking on my guy, Sadabu C. And just a dominant performance by Magomed Karimov. Sadabu C really didn't have too much of a chance here in this one.
No.
But Magomed Karimov improves his record. Or I'm sorry, he wins via unanimous decision. 30-27s across the board. Magomed Karimov improves his record to 29-5 overall. Sadabu C falls to 9-6-2. All right, who's going to face Magomed Karimov? We had a matchup, the main event, between Rory McDonald, the Red King, taking on Ray Cooper III. And I hate to say it, but I think Rory's done, man.
Yeah, he's not in it anymore.
Like, you know, people lose fights or whatever. I totally understand that. But he went out there and got taken down all three rounds and did nothing to get out of it. I mean, he went for like a Kimura at the end of the third round, and Cooper just ended up pulling his arm right out of it. But other than that, Rory was just content to be on the bottom the entire time. It was just so surprising. Usually see Rory as an aggressive fighter, and in this one, just so stagnant, man. It was a stinker.
So should he have called it quits back in Bellator when he was like, yeah, I don't know. I just don't know if I want to hurt people anymore.
Probably.
Come out on top.
Because this was definitely the worst performance I've ever seen from Rory McDonald. So.
Wow.
Ray Cooper III, got to give him credit. He moves on to fight Magomed Karimov. I'm really excited for that matchup. I think it's going to be a good one. Cooper trying to go for his second straight $1 million, and Magomed Karimov's already won one as well. So I think that'll be a really fun fight.
For sure.
Ray Cooper III defeats Rory McDonald via unanimous decision. 30-27s all across the board. Ray Cooper III now 23-7 overall. Rory McDonald is now 22-8. That is your rundown for PFL number 7. Yeah. We're going to take a quick little break, and we'll be right back. I need to hydrate myself. I'm fucking parched.
Yeah. Of me to replace the broken pieces of you. Tear it out. Tear it out, pieces. Of me to replace the broken pieces of you. Tear it out, tear it out, pieces. Of me to replace the broken pieces of you. Tear it out, pieces.
I was a man once. Really?
like poopy, baby. Slimmy smells. Slimmy smells like poopy, baby. Slimmy smells. Slimmy smells like poopy. Slimmy smells.
That's so cute. It's so long to catch that. You've heard this song how many times?
Slimmy smells.
God damn it. So the other day, Nate from Luck Changers texted me. And
dude's a fucking nut job.
Bro, before I get to that, did you see his Instagram? His story the other day? He was like, social experiment. How many of you have an iPhone?
Yes, I did see this.
You click yes, and he's like, okay, so go to the podcast app. I was like, you fucker. That's genius, though. So the other last week or something, he was like, hey, you want to join my Minecraft realm? It's like, me, Dan, my cousin, like some other people. And I'm like, oh, shit, like, dope, all right. Like, I've been itching to play with someone new because everyone I played with quit playing. So I joined in. Scoping out the scene, you know, set up my own little base, and I found Nate's little house. And I was like, okay. So I played by myself a couple times because no one was on. And I was like, okay. So I text him, like, where's everyone else's base? I saw yours. And he goes, oh, yeah, it's really just me that plays. I was like, you son of a bitch.
Tricked your ass.
He roped me in.
He's like, oh, yeah, everybody plays, bro. It's dope.
Yeah,
it's Bobby.
Yeah. Nope. Nope. Just him.
Mm-mm-mm.
I was like, whatever. I will surpass you.
I remember what the big news that you didn't announce was.
What?
Trayshawn Gore is out of the Ultimate Finale, Fighter Finale. Yeah.
That's right. That's sad.
In steps Gilbert Urbina, who Trayshawn just knocked out with a counter lift. I didn't get to talk about that, but yeah, Trayshawn Gore is a problem. And Dana said he'll get his shot still, maybe in the Contender Series, or maybe just like a short notice replacement, something like that. But
what's an Oreo? Hey!
Enough of that, sir. Hey, no, no, stop, stop.
He's like, come on, Dan, I didn't want to double stop.
Spyro, knock that shit off, you little titty.
That's why I'm trying to get a double stuffed Oreo real quick. Yeah, no, Gore is a fucking world beater. He's gonna be nasty. Yeah. He's only like, what, 4-0?
Mm-hmm.
He's sick.
3-0. I was excited to see him versus Battle, but...
Eh. Oh, well.
You can't always get what you want.
So, I have the second pick in our fantasy football draft. You have the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
How you feeling about that? That's kind of a tough spot, man.
Why do you say that?
Because there's like the four main running backs that everybody knows are gonna go... 1-4. McCaffrey, Cook, Kamara, and Henry.
Fuck Cook.
And then after that, it's like, fuck Dalvin Cook?
Yeah.
If I I'm hoping to God that Dylan picks Christian McCaffrey.
I'm sure he will. Why do you want Cook? He didn't do shit last year.
The number two scoring running back?
Are you sure?
Go look it up right now.
On the fucking Vikings?
Yeah, and number 12 overall.
What? What did I get in my mock? Hang on. So, it's Barkley, McCaffrey. So, Barkley's going first right now.
That's just a randomized thing.
No, I mean, he's like top rated. Like, you know Dylan's going to look at that shit.
That's just randomized, though.
No, there were... It goes
McCaffrey's
like
ranked number one. No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, yeah, I guess you're right, because I did get Kamara one time. Yeah, I mean, if I can get Kamara or Henry, I'm chilling.
You're not, though. They're going to be gone. You're going to have to choose between, like, Chubb, Devontae
What do you mean?
Adams.
I'm fifth, so what? These four are going to be gone. There's going to be one that picks...
Saquon Barkley's not going to be gone.
You don't think?
He's going to miss a game or two.
Why?
Because he's hurt right now.
He's still hurt?
Yeah.
God damn.
He might miss up to 3 weeks.
Do you think I'll have to go with Chubb, pretty much?
I'd go with Zeke if I was you.
I don't even see Zeke on here. Where is he?
Did he get drafted already?
No.
Then he should be right there.
Like, for real, where? Oh, there he is. He's down the line. Damn, they got him in the second round. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, if I can get Henry or Kamara, I'm chilling.
You're not.
Why? I don't know.
Unless somebody grabs like Chubb
Yeah, I mean, Chubb's a pretty good pick, I'd say.
But I'm getting McCaffrey or Dalvin Cook, 100%. Preferably Dalvin Cook, but I'll take either.
What about second round? I already know Robert's going to take Kelsey. Like,
I'm hoping I get another running back to fall to me. If not, I'll probably go best running back, best wide receiver available. Hoping D-Hop falls to me in the second
round. I think both times I did a mock, D-Hop went to me. Or fell to me, rather, but... Yeah, I don't know. I'm cool with it. I'm all right with it.
We can do a little fantasy mock draft here after this.
I'm all right with it, though.
All right. We got two cards to talk to you guys about here. The first one being Bellator 265. It's number 3 ranked Czech Congo taking on Sergey Karatsinov. But yeah, only 9 fights on this one. I'm just going to be pretty quick here. In the very first fight of the night, it's Corey Mogenberg taking on Bailey Schoenfelder. Schoenfelder is 1-0. Corey Mogenberg is 1-2. Don't know much about these guys, but I'm going with Mogenberg here. Or not Mogenberg, I'm sorry. Schoenfelder. Take the guy who's 1-0 over the guy who's got a losing record. Yeah, does that sound smart to you, Slim?
Sure.
Okay.
Even though it didn't help me in PFL today.
Buddy.
I mean, that chick didn't have a losing or winning record, but it was her debut.
This will decide your shit right here.
Yeah.
You know, you could have a winning night right here.
Right.
Oh. Ooh, you can bet on Dana White's contender series? Let's go.
What? That's hard.
I'm on it. All right. So, geez.
You got The Rock Johnson over here.
Dwayne Johnson.
Yeah,
I don't know. There's no odds for this one. So I'm just, going with Schoenfelder. Let's move on to the next one. In the 185-pound division, it is Dwayne Johnson, who's 5-2, taking on Devin Fisher, who has a 4-8 record.
His nickname is The Rock, yes!
Nice. That's like hard. That. Dwayne Johnson's the minus 575 favorite. Definitely going with him over the plus 410, Devin Fisher. In the next one, we have Archie Colgan coming in undefeated, 2-0, a highly hyped prospect there at welterweight, taking on Ben Simons, who is 3-2. Archie Colgan is the biggest favorite, or I'm sorry, second biggest favorite on the card right now at minus 1125.
What? At 2-0?
Yep.
Yikes.
People are high on Archie Colgan. So, A&A MMA both going with, or I'm going with, Archie Colgan. We move on to the, let me get that right. Lightweight division, we have Mike Hamill taking on Bryce Logan. Hamill coming in with a record of 7-5. Bryce Logan is 12-5. Right now, Bryce Logan sitting as the minus 160 favorite. We're rocking with him. We're going with him here in this one. In the 185-pound middleweight division, it's Fabio Aguiar coming in with a record of 17-2, the Brazilian, taking on the American Taylor Johnson, who is 7-2.
Jeez.
This is another fight that... Oh, there are odds on this one. Taylor Johnson, they're going with the guy with the wrestling experience. He should probably have the advantage here in the hands, too. But we'll see. Aguiar definitely is a powerful guy himself. But nonetheless, A&A MMA going with Taylor Johnson to defeat Fabio Aguiar. That is your preliminary card. I'm pretty sure you should be able to watch that on YouTube. These next four fights will be on Showtime. Moving on to the one fight that's contested at a 140-pound catchweight, the undefeated Jornel Lugo taking on Kevin Lee's little brother, Keith Lee, who has a record of 7-4. Should be an interesting one, but I think Jornel Lugo is the better prospect in this one. Undefeated fighter, just a well-rounded mixed martial artist. So going with Jornel Lugo to defeat Keith Lee. In the next one, former UFC fighter Marcelo Gomes coming in with a record of 8-3. The Brazilian taking on the American fighter Billy Swanson, who's coming in with a record of 4-1. Right now, the odds are in favor of... Okay, this one doesn't have odds. What's going on with fucking...
I don't know.
DraftKings, bro. Holy shit. I'm going with Marcelo Gomes, though. He's minus 515, so yeah. He definitely will have the power advantage in this one. When he lets his hands go, man, he puts people out. So going with Marcelo Gomes here.
Moving on to the co-main event of the evening, it's Logan Storley coming in with a record of 11-1, taking on Dante Shiro, who is 8-2. I don't got to talk about this one too much. Logan Storley's going to take this to the ground, and
like that,
that's when he's going to dominate. Logan Storley is the minus 3,500 favorite in this one.
What? Shut the fuck up.
Over the plus 1,500, Dante Shiro.
Why even make something like that?
Wild, dude.
Is that the most ever in a fight?
I mean, that's up there for one of the highest odds, yeah.
Wow.
All right, we move on to the main event of the evening. In the heavyweight division, Chet Congo coming in with a record of 30-11-2, taking on the Russian Sergey Karatinov, 32-8 overall. I think the key in this one's going to be Congo's striking, and he's going to have to defend the takedown, because if Karatinov is able to get him down on the ground, he will have a massive advantage. Karatinov is a big, you know, grizzly bear type guy. I think it's going to be very big for Congo to concentrate on keeping distance and not letting Karatinov get in close and go for that takedown. If he's able to do that, I got Chet Congo pulling off the upset here at plus 105. I'm going with Chet Congo. Who do you think wins that one, Slim?
Yeah, I like Congo.
ANA MMA going with Chet Congo to defeat Sergey Karatinov. That is Bellator 265. You can catch that on Showtime and YouTube. And it starts at 6:30. So there you guys go. Let's go ahead and move on to this UFC card, though. I'm pretty excited about this one. We had a break last week, Slim. Finally got some UFC fights back on the TV. So let's go ahead and start the breakdown of Kananier and Gastelum. But I need you to just give me 1 second, because Spyro knocked that fan down. And I'd like to, you know, put it up the right way.
Do it. Yeah, if y'all thought the Sean Strickland and Uriah Hall card was weak, well, we got something for you. But
damn, you think it's like that?
Nah, there's some sleepers on here. There really are. But not quite the casual fans card. Definitely some high-tech, you know, what do you call them? Hardcores. That's what it is. All right, let's start in the 175-pound or 170-pound division. We have Ramiz Brahimaj taking on Sasha Palatnikov. We'll start with...
Hold on, sorry. You're literally a casual, though.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are. You literally only commentate on, like, UFC fights now. You don't even cover, like, PFL shit. You don't even fucking show up to do the episodes.
I fell off the PFL, and I just don't really like Bellator because they put on fights where there's minus 300 or 3,000 favorites. And people making their MMA debuts, like, come on.
You're just a low-down, dirty scoundrel.
I like the main cards of Bellator, okay? I'll say that. Anywho, so... we'll start with Brahimaj here. He's 8-3, 28 years old, 5'10", 73-inch reach, fighting out of Fortis MMA. He's coming off a loss to Max Griffin right now. That was back in November of last year. He did beat Carlos Martinez before that in the LFA. Lost to Justin Patterson. Beat William Marquero by guillotine choke. And lost to Evan Cutts before that. So a bit of a win-loss streak for him. He was 5-0.
He got his ear punched off.
Oh, yeah, that's that one. Wonder if they put it back.
Oh, they did.
Nice. All right.
Ramiz Brahimaj. Fun fighter to watch, man. Good grappler. That's kind of his bread and butter. Last time he tried standing with Max Griffin, we saw it didn't go too well because ear almost got punched off. But when he does go to that grappling, that's typically where he has his most success. And he'll definitely want to do that against the kickboxer. Like Palatnikov, we've seen Palatnikov throw some really powerful shots. I think it'd just be in Brahimaj's best interest to get this fight to the ground as soon as possible. Let's talk about the fighter from Hong Kong.
Sasha Palatnikov, 6-3, 32 years old, 6'1", with a 72.5-inch reach. So you have a reach disadvantage in this fight, but a height advantage. He's going to have a loss to Emeka Sangane. Second round rear naked choke back in April of this year. He did beat Luis Cosi before that.
I told you guys, you and John Anik. I fucking told you guys.
I get it.
I just don't know why you guys were tripping that week.
I don't know either. And he beat Paulo Henrique before that as well. Two of those by finish. He did lose to Manair Laziz outside of the UFC and Emmanuel Verdier.
So I think Sasha Palatnikov needs to come out swinging in this one. Don't play the long game. Don't leave it in the hands of the judges. Come out there and gets to swinging, because that's when, like, when he makes it hectic, that's when he does his best work, man. I mean, I really think that if Palatnikov keeps this one standing, defends the takedowns, and just, you know, is his typical aggressive striking self, he's definitely going to have a good shot in this one. Right now, if you're looking at the odds, they currently have Sasha Palatnikov as the plus 120 underdog over the minus 140 favorite, Ramiz Brahimaj. I'm going to go with the grappler here. Give me Brahimaj. Brahimaj.
Yeah, I'll do the same.
A&M. Sorry, guys. I'm eating one of those, like, caramel apple suckers, so. My bad. A&M MMA, both going with Ramiz Brahimaj in this one.
A&A, and the A stands for ASMR. Fuck off. Okay. All right. So this next one we have Roosevelt Roberts taking on Ignacio Bahamondes.
Two highly hyped up prospects here in this one.
Yeah, we'll start with the American. The Predator Roberts is 10-2 overall, 27 years old, 6'2" with a 73-inch reach, very tall for that lightweight division. Is coming off a no contest to Kevin Kroom. What happened in that one? Did he test positive or did Kevin?
I forget, but Kevin Kroom knocked him out or something. Didn't he?
Standing guillotine.
Yeah, Kevin Kroom choked him out.
Yeah. And then lost to Jamil before that, but this man was looking good in the UFC up until that point. Won his contender series fight by rear naked choke. Got a standing guillotine over Daryl Horcher in his first UFC fight. Beat Thomas Guilford. Decision loss to Vince Michel, and then came back with a win over Alexander Yakolev and choked out Brock Weaver before he ran into Jim Miller. So let's see if Roosevelt Roberts can get back on track here. Very dangerous striker with a pretty good ground game as well.
Yeah, he's definitely a well-rounded mixed martial artist. And like you said, he's really tall for the division. I think Roosevelt Roberts will have the grappling advantage in this fight, and he'll definitely be able to hold his own striking-wise with Bahamondes. He might even be the better striker than Bahamondes, but I just think his grappling would be the smart key for him to go in there and, you know, try getting this fight to the ground and winning it that way. But he's got a contender series alumni and another really tall fighter for this division. That's why I find this matchup really interesting.
Yeah, Ignacio is 6'3", with a 75.5-inch reach, so he will have a 2.5-inch reach advantage and an inch in height. He's only 23 years old, 11-4, coming off a loss over John McDessie in his UFC debut, split decision loss, albeit, yep, back in April, and he did win his contender series fight by second-round front kick knockout last year.
Yeah, he hit that... was very Anderson Silva-like with that front kick.
Yeah, definitely. Didn't he fight in the contender series before? I thought he fought there just once. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, Bahamondes, really creative striker. Like we said, he's 6'3" in the lightweight division. So typically he has a really big height advantage on people. He won't have too much of one there with Roosevelt Roberts. And I'm interested to see how he responds to that. He does have a pretty kick-heavy offense. And he typically just stays on the outside, but we know that he's got a fellow long guy coming back at him. So we'll see if Roosevelt Roberts can close that distance, get the takedown, or if Bahamondes is going to stay on the outside and use the striking.
Also, he missed weight last time, so it's something to keep an eye on.
Yeah, right now Roosevelt Roberts is the minus 145 favorite over the plus 125 Ignacio Bahamondes. This is a tough one. I'm going to go with Roberts, though. He's shown me a little bit more.
Yeah, I'll do the same.
A&A MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with the favorite here, Roosevelt Roberts, to defeat Ignacio Bahamondes. We now move on from the lightweight division onto the light heavyweights, and we got a good scrap here.
Yeah, it should be a striker's delight. We got William the Nightmare Knight taking on the Water Buffalo, Fabio Charrant. Let's start with William. He's 9-2 overall, 33 years old, 5'10" with a 73-inch reach. Pretty short for that 205-pound division. Coming off a loss to Dan Jung right now. Also back on that ABC card back in April. He did have three wins before that, though. Alexa Kamer, Cody Brundage in the Contender Series, and Rocky Edwards in CES.
Not that Rocky Edwards.
No. He also fought Tafuan Inchukwi.
And Jamel Jones, who's about to fight here next.
Oh, yeah. Good point. Nice.
Oh, that's all you got?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, so when you're watching William Knight, it's he's a physical specimen. Dude is just... He does backflips and lands them like Iron Man, bro. Like, dude is off the chain, I'm telling you guys. It's funny because in his last fight, I was talking about how high his fight IQ was, and he got hit with the same takedown, like, I think it was like 5 or 6 times, something like that. Yeah. So he made me look a little bit stupid there. But nonetheless, I do still think the floor is high for William Knight, man. He's got a good gas tank for being, like, usually when you see those guys that are so muscly.
The floor is
like,
high?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be the ceiling is high?
The floor is high. Like, even his worst is pretty good.
Hmm.
I think if he's able to fight a smart fight here, like, I don't know. When I envision this one, I just see William Knight having more power and more technique when it comes to the striking. Both these guys are pretty unproven on the ground. We've actually saw last time how Da-Eun Jung treated William Knight with those takedowns. So, I don't know, man. It might be smart for Sherratt to get the takedown. Nonetheless, I think this is William Knight's fight to win.
Ooh. All right, we got the water buffalo here. Fabio Sherratt, 7-2. 26 years old, 6'1", with a 76-inch reach. So, he will have a 3-inch reach advantage and a 3-inch height advantage. Fighting of Lozon MMA. He's coming off a loss to Alonzo Menafield. He got caught in the Von flu.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes. He had 3 wins before that in the LFA. 2 decisions and an anaconda choke. He also fought Alexa Kamer.
Mm-hmm.
He lost to him. That was Alexa's ticket into the UFC. And then every one of his wins before that were chokes. 2 guillotines and 2 rear nakeds.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's got those creative submissions. So that's why I think it would be smart for him to get this fight to the ground. He's not bad as a striker, he's just a little bit unpolished. But, yeah, man, I think if Sherratt is able to get this one to the ground, and the thing that worries me is, like, even if he is able to get him to the ground, I don't know if he'll be able to control from the top the way Da-Eun Jung was able to.
Yeah.
I just haven't seen the top control from Fabio Sherratt yet. Maybe this is his chance to show it to me, but, like I said, I think this one's William Knight.
Yeah, I think I got to do the same.
ANA MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with William Knight, who is the minus 170 favorite to defeat the plus 150 Fabio Sherratt.
All right, moving to the women's 135-pound division. We have Bea Malecki taking on...
Bea?
Bear? Nah, that's not a bear. Nah, that's a bear.
Bea, on the...
What? Taking on Josanne. Wait, is it Josanne? Or
sound it out, buddy. You got it.
Josanne. I don't know if it had like a little Portuguese twang on it, you know?
Josiane.
Nunes. We'll start with her. 7-1 overall, 27 years old. 5'2", don't know the reach. She is... on a nice 6-fight winning streak right now. She lost her second ever fight to Talia Santos and has been on a tear. Lots of finishes in those. And actually, almost every one of her fights has been in a different promotion. That's pretty interesting. She was supposed to fight Zara Farum back in April. So she's making her UFC debut here.
Yeah, and she's been a highly hyped prospect, man. Coming in on that win streak, fighting such good competition outside of the UFC. I think that's probably why people are so hyped up on her. She is a little bit short for the division, I'd say. She faces a size disadvantage with a lot of fighters. But, man, she is powerful. You see the power in her hands when she comes out there. Muay Thai practitioner, but predominantly she's just going to come at you with the hands. Her boxing skills are just so crisp. And she's really accurate with her punches. It's not like she just goes out there and throws wild. She actually sets them up pretty well. And, yeah, man, if she lands on you, she can put you out cold.
But, you know, Josie has a tough out here in the Ultimate Fighter alumni, Bad News Barbie.
Damn, Josie's first ever pro fight was against a chick who was 6-1. That's rough.
Hmm.
All right, Bad News Barbie here. 2-0. 29 years old, 5'9", with a 74-inch reach, fighting out of Fortis MMA as well. She's on a two-fight winning streak right now. Early two wins, duh. And she was also 3-0 as an amateur. She got her UFC win. Damn, she was 0-0 in the UFC. That's nuts. You never see that. But she beat Duda Santana by rear naked choke and then came back and won against Veronica Macedo by decision.
Yeah, another good striker here. That's I'm pretty excited for this matchup. Because I feel like, for the most part, both ladies are just going to keep it standing.
What did she do outside of MMA? Like, there's no way the UFC was just like, yeah, you're 0-0, sure.
I'm not too sure, honestly, Slim. But I do know she's got a 7-inch height advantage, and that's huge. That's going to be hard for Josie to go in there and close that distance with Bea Malecki. And the thing is, if she does, Malecki is probably the better grappler as well. So,
former Muay Thai European champion and Muay Thai world champion.
Okay, so yeah, just two great strikers with great Muay Thai here. But you got to think, the one that's 7 inches taller probably has the advantage. While I do think Josie probably has the power advantage, I just think it's going to be tough for her to get inside and hit Bea. So, yeah, I'm going to go with Malecki here in this one.
Same.
ANA MMA both going with the -155 favorite Bea Malecki to defeat the +135 Josiane Nunes. I gotta tell you, Slim, we haven't seen odds this close in a really long time, man. The second biggest favorites on the card are all tied at -170.
Wow.
Biggest favorite on the card, and I guarantee, I will bet my life on this that we'll never ever see this again. Biggest favorite on the card at -190 is Chase Sherman.
What? Wow.
We'll never see that again in our entire existence.
No, probably not.
But yeah, just a stupidly close card.
All right, let's move on to the men's 135-pound division here. It's Brian Boone Keller taking on Domingo Pilarte.
I'm excited about this one, man. Somebody is going down here, I feel like.
Yeah, we'll start with Boom. He's 22-12, 35 years old, 5'6", with a 64-inch reach. Fighting out of Long Island MMA. He's coming off a loss to Ricky Simone. I believe they fought up a weight class on that, am I right? Yep, at featherweight. And they beat Ray Rodriguez before that. That was bad. Oh, no, that was a featherweight, too. He lost to Cody Stamann before that, also at featherweight. And then you can obviously tell. Brian Keller does his best work at bantamweight. That's where he's not being oversized. You can tell even when he was fighting like other bantamweights at featherweight, like he's the smaller guy. Like he's not cutting that much weight to make bantamweight. You can tell, and his power still holds true. So he had two nice wins over Hunter Azure and Ode Osborne on that McGregor card when he choked him out in the first round. That shit was nice.
Yeah, man. A really exciting fighter, Brian Keller is. Okay, first off, let me just say his grappling is maybe not the best, but he's got a just nasty guillotine choke. If he gets you in the guillotine, you're not getting out of it, okay?
No.
That's his signature choke. That's how he beat Ray Rodriguez. That's how he beat Ode Osborne. That's how he beat Yuri Alcantara. That's how he beat Julio Arce. So I just think, you know, Brian, the big thing he has, too, is just, like, an uncanny ability to knock people out at the lower weight classes. And he just carries great power in his hands. He throws really nice hooks. Maybe they're not the most technical punches, but he does land when he throws his punches. And I think his hooks are definitely his best strikes. Always a dangerous guy. He can finish it on the ground. He will jump that guillotine choke and choke you out, or if he's content to stand the entire time as well, which I think that's exactly what he's going to get here with his opponent, Domingo Pilarte.
Moving on to him, the Son of Fire is 8-2, 31 years old, 6 foot tall with a 74-inch reach. So he will have a massive 10-inch reach advantage and a 4-inch height advantage. That's insane. Is this dude? Yeah, he's made bantamweight. Wow. He's coming off a no contest to Journey Newsom, not sure what happened in that one. And he lost to Felipe Carras before that. He did beat Vince Morales, to get into the UFC on Dana White's Contender Series.
Wait, you said he beat Felipe Clarez to get on?
Vince Morales.
Okay.
Also
beat Adrian Yanez?
Yeah. Ooh, yeah, he did. Split decision. LFA. Nice.
Yeah, so, I mean, this guy's fought great competition throughout his career. He even fought Kyle Machado back in 2014. So, yeah, like Slim said, wins over Adrian Yanez, Vince Morales. This guy's a jack of all trades. Just power in his hands, man. He will knock you out. I'm pretty sure that's what happened with Newsom. He knocked him out in 38 seconds. Must have got busted for something there. But this guy's got 2 38-second knockout wins, both by just straight punches. So, man, this is a tough one to call. I don't know, man. This is one I've just been undecided on all day, and I still just haven't been able to decide on it. Give me the underdog. Give me Domingo Bilarte.
Same.
Bro.
What? That reaches. Ryan's going to have a hard time getting in there.
ANA MMA going with the plus 150 underdog, Domingo Bilarte, to defeat the minus 170, tied for second biggest favorite on the card, Brian Keller. Moment of truth, Slim. Who won PFL 8?
Me.
Was it me?
Me.
Was it you?
Me.
According to the FPR.
It was me.
Fuck you, chicken strips. It was me, I'm telling you.
But the verdict scorecard says otherwise.
What does that mean?
That's like the people. You don't have verdict on your phone, bro?
No.
It's like where you vote on the shit. And it,
you do?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
For UFC cards, I vote on every round. Oh. And then it... like shows you some updated shit.
That's kind of cool. Oh, well, the verdict said Gallardo.
The fan vote.
Yeah. Isn't that what that is?
No, it's just like fans like, oh, hashtag Gornado.
Then what's the verdict for?
The FPR?
No, the verdict.
Verdict FPR is MMA? Different. That's just like an app, bro. And they use it. Where it's like where fans do live scoring on fights. And then they round up all the shits.
Must be split.
It is. The moment of truth.
Ah. Nice.
Slim's down by 5.
That was the anticipation, guys. All right, moving to... up a weight class. To the featherweight division, we have Luis Saldana taking on Austin Lingo.
Another Contender Series alumni here, Saldana.
Yeah, the UFC is not going to have to pay a lot on this card.
No.
we'll start with Luis here. He's 15-6, 30 years old, 5'11", with a 73-inch reach. He is on a nice 5-fight winning streak right now. A third-round knockout over Vince Murdoch to get into... Contender Series to get into the UFC. He also has a win over Jordan Griffin back in.
And that was a front kick, too.
Bro, everyone's fought on this ABC card. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Literally, everyone so far.
Not everyone so far.
Just about. He also beat Carl Whitstock, Romero Hernandez, and Will Shutt.
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking about what Kayla Harrison's going to do to Taylor Gordado in the cage.
Oh, just spank her butt.
She might rip her all four limbs off. Yikes. She's not crying because she won. She's crying because she's got to fight Kayla Harrison.
Right.
But yeah, man. Saldana, just a really interesting striker, man. A long guy. Big for the weight class. Very kick-heavy game. You can see that in his last 5 wins. He's got a front kick knockout and a head kick knockout. Just mixes those in really well. Sets up his strikes. And like you said, with this guy's height, it's kind of just like natural for him to just stay on the outside and just pick you apart with his kicks. But Austin Lingo, if Saldana's got kicks, Austin Lingo's got punches.
That he does. Austin lights out Lingo. He's 8-1, 27 years old, 5'10" with a 70-inch reach. Also a Fortis MMA fighter. He is coming off a win over Jacob Kilburn back in January. He took an L to Yusuf Zalal in his UFC debut. I believe he took that on short notice. And then was undefeated before that with almost all of his wins coming by finish in the first round. Except for 2 decisions.
Yeah, he gets in your face right away, and he just starts swinging with the punches, man. He's a great kickboxer. His only loss was Yusef's Law, like Slim said, and we know Yusef's Law is just like a cardio beast, and he'll try taking you down. But I don't think that's what Austin Lingo is going to get here. He's going to get the stand-up battle he's been looking for. It's hard to say that he will be able to close that distance with Saldana, because not a lot of people have been able to do that lately. But, I mean, Austin Lingo, man, if he has a good game plan, he comes in, uses good footwork, and sets up those punches, yeah, man, he can put your lights out quick. Like Slim said, most of his wins in the first round, so I think this one's going to be fireworks. This could be a possible fight of the night contender right here. I am going to go with Luis Saldana, though.
I think I'm going to take Lingo.
ANA MMA disagreeing here. Slim's going with Austin Lingo. I'm going with the slight favorite, Luis Saldana, who is the minus 120 favorite over the plus 100 underdog. That is your featured preliminary bout, and that is your preliminary card. You can watch all that on ESPN2 or ESPN+. We move to ESPN for our six-fight main card, and we kick it off with a banger Rooney.
Yeah, Andre Pantoja. That don't look like him anymore.
No.
Taking on Brandon Royval. Raw Dog is back, baby. After that shoulder injury.
I don't think that's the right.
Wasn't a shoulder injury?
No, I don't think this is the right bout order. I think the next fight's Trevin Jones and Saeed Yacoub. But that's fine. We'll just go with this one. Just be advised, listeners, that this might be wrong.
Okay. Anyway, starting with Raw Dog. He's 12-5, 29 years old, 5'9", with a 70.5-inch reach. Fighting out of Factory X. He is coming off that loss of Brandon Moreno. Like I said, that shoulder injury that led to him getting stopped right at the end of that first round there. That was back November of last year, so glad to see he's healthy again. He was on that nice four-fight winning streak. Two of those in the UFC, a guillotine choke over Kai Car France and an arm triangle over Tim Elliott, as well as two arm bars in the LFA. Dude is a problem on the ground.
Yeah, he's fought so much good competition outside of the UFC as well. He fought Jerome Rivera, Casey Kenney, Nick Urso, and what about my guy, Joby?
Sanchez Joby?
But yeah, man, a really fun fighter, Brandon Royval. When he first came into the UFC, man, we were really high on him. I will always have a spot in my heart for Brandon Royval. He was on that three-fight parlay I had that won me a couple grand. So Royval always has a spot in my heart for his win over Tim Elliott. But yeah, tall for the division, uses it really well. You'll see him pick you apart with his jabs. That's definitely his best thing that he brings into the cage is his jabs. But he's also got some really interesting submissions as well. He's got a good arm triangle. He's won by guillotine, arm bar, triangle. So, you know, he can fight really good off of his back with those arm bars and those triangles, which, you know, he might find himself on his back here with Pantoja, because he's known for his power, but he's also kind of a jack of all trades. Pantoja can get you anywhere.
True. And he's calling for a title shot after if he wins this fight. He's 23-5, 31 years old, 5'5" with a 68-inch reach. So the reach is 2.5 inches for Royval. He's coming off a win over Mendel Kopp back in January or February of this year. Lost to Askar Askarov, beat Matt Schnell, lost to Davison Figueiredo before that. So title shot,
maybe not.
Probably not, but he might be close.
Right.
But yeah, this dude's fought everyone. He's been in the UFC since 2016 when he was on the Ultimate Fighter Season 24. He beat Brandon Moreno and Kai Car France on that season, so that's pretty wild.
He beat Brandon Moreno twice in his career, which is says something about you, that you beat the current champ twice.
Right.
Just a low-down, dirty, vicious scoundrel is how I would describe Alexandre Pantoja in the best, most complimentary way possible, man. He's called the cannibal for a reason. Dude will go out there and just let it all out, man. Like, when he goes at you with his punches, he's trying to put your lights out. He's not trying to score any points, none of that. Pantoja's out there to stop you.
Yeah.
And that's why he's such a fun fighter to watch, dude. Like, the way he throws the power in his punches, you don't see too many flyweights who carry power in their hands like him, except maybe Davison Figueiredo is the only other one I can think of. Such a dangerous fighter, man. That's why that makes this fight such a tough one to call. I would say this is probably like, this might be the hardest fight of the night to call for me personally. But I just think the overall skill set falls in favor of Alexandre Pantoja. I'm going with the Brazilian.
I'm going to take Raw Dog.
ANA MMA going to disagree again. Two in a row. I'm going with Alexandre Pantoja. Slim's going with Brandon Royval.
Honestly, Royval was winning that fight against Moreno.
Yeah, but Pantoja beat him twice.
True.
Moreno. Pantoja is the minus 170 favorite over the plus 150. Brandon Royval. All right, let's go ahead and move on from the flyweights up to the lightweights, and we got another fight of the night candidate right here.
Yeah, Vince from Hell Beach Hill, taking on Austin Thud Hubbard. We'll start with him. He's 13 and 5, 29 years old, 5'10", with a 71-inch reach, fighting out of Elevation Fight Team. Very loss win in his UFC career. Beat Dakota Bush, Max Roshkoff, and Kyle Preplick. Lost to Joe Selecki, Mark O. Madsen. Mm-hmm. And Davi Hamosh.
Yeah, so Austin Thud Hubbard, really good striker. We saw that in his fight against Max Roshkoff where he made him quit on the stool. He was just picking him apart with the punches. The Dakota Bush fight, Dakota Bush was very short notice coming into that one, and Thud Hubbard just showed that he, you know, was a little bit ahead in the striking game. And we also saw him knock out Keely Shimota in the fifth round of their championship fight back at LFA 56. So, you know, maybe not the best or the most success coming into this UFC fight with 3-3 record, but he's fought some great competition, man. Like losses to Davi Hamosh, Marco Madsen, and Joe Selecki. Those guys are outstanding grapplers, all of them. So that kind of shows you, you know, that's the key to beating Austin Hubbard is getting him to the ground. But will Vince Pichel be able to use the wrestling enough to do it? We'll see here.
From Hell Pichel, he is 13-2, 38 now. Wow. Mm-hmm. 38 years old, 5'10" with a 72-inch reach. Says he's fighting out of Big John's Ultimate Training Academy? I don't think so.
I didn't know Big John McCarthy had an Ultimate Training Academy.
Apparently.
He's been doing some work, though, at Factory X Muay Thai, as we heard our guy Jason Mullen tell us.
Yes, that he has. So in the last 6 years, he's only lost once. Mm-hmm. And it was to Gregor Gillespie. Mm-hmm. Like, what? He beat Jim Miller, Roosevelt Roberts, Joaquin Silva, Damian Brown, Anthony Njokwani, and Garrett Whitley. The man is nice. He was on the Ultimate Fighter Season 15 back in 2012.
Where he had four fights.
Yeah. Dude has been in the UFC for a minute now. And I think he's improving, for real.
Yeah. Just better with age, Vince Pichel is. Just such a dangerous fighter, man, and really brings in all aspects because he does have the great wrestling and he can put your lights out with his striking, man. Like, he's just a mean dude. Like, he's from Hill Pichel for a reason. Okay? Yeah,
for sure.
And his last two wins were really impressive. You know, he beat a guy in Jim Miller, legend of the sport, great grappler. And then he beat Roosevelt Roberts, a guy who was undefeated at the time. A lot of hype coming in, and he just completely dominated that fight, so... I think this one's going to be interesting. I think it's a pretty good matchup where Thud Hubbard will have the advantage striking. Vince Pichel will probably have the power advantage overall, but he definitely will have this grappling advantage. That's what I think is going to be the key in this one. I usually don't go with the fighters that are you know, that much older. It kind of scares me away a lot of times, but I think Vince Pichel is going to have all the keys to win in this one. I'm going with him.
Vince Pichel all day.
ANA MMA agreeing on this one. We're both going with the very slight, almost a pick'em. This one is pretty much a pick'em, but Vince Pichel minus 115, Austin Hubbard minus 105. Let's go ahead and move on to the bantamweight division.
Yeah, like we said, we're not sure the order of this one, so it might be at a different time, but we're going to cover it now. It is Trevin Jones taking on Saidjoukub Karakhmanov.
Okay.
Right? Close?
Saidjoukub Kakramanov.
Ah, okay. So we'll start with the Kub. He is 8-2.
The Kub!
Yakubian Devil. He's 25
whoa,
years old.
Yo, easy.
He's from Uzbekistan. That works, right?
I don't know.
Yakub's just a white person.
You're a Yakub.
You're right. So are you. 25 years old, 5'7". Don't know the reach. What fight is this? What weight is this taking out? Okay, he last missed weight if he was fighting at bantamweight. He's on 2-fight winning streak right now. 2 knockouts. One at 39 seconds in the first round. That was to Askar Askar.
Oh, shit. He beat dude that I trained with.
What?
Yeah. I trained with this dude.
Who?
Jarrell Hodge.
For real?
Yeah. Yep. He trained at GT BJJ for a couple days.
That's gnarly.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway. So, yeah. He's beating some good names.
Yeah. Kakramanov.
Oh, and he was in the PFL.
Just a powerhouse, dude. Like, this guy is not another one of those fighters that's not coming in trying to get points. Like, this guy's coming in to stop the fight. And preferably in the first round. He only has one stoppage win outside of the first round. And he's only got 2 decision wins on his record. Darce chokes, rear naked chokes, punching power. His last 2 wins were by knockout. So, I mean, this is such an interesting matchup because I feel like both of these guys are like those sneaky good grapplers who will put your lights out. And Trevin Jones has shown us that he will do that to you time and time again now. 2 times we counted this guy out, Trevin Jones. I even picked Ronnie Lawrence against him in the last fight that ended up getting canceled. But, I mean, when will it be time to stop sleeping on Trevin Jones?
Maybe now. He is 13-6. 31 years old, 5'7", with a 70-inch reach. He's fighting out of Guam. That's interesting. He is on a 3-fight winning streak, technically, right now. Did he win the Team Air Alive fight, too?
What? Yes, remember he knocked him out? Bro, we just talked about this like 2 weeks ago.
It was a no contest.
Yeah, he knocked him out. Remember, Valiev, like, murked him in the first round, and then
He came back.
Trevin Jones knocked him out cold.
That's right. Why was it no contest, though? Do you know?
Trevin Jones got caught smoking weed.
Oh, okay, cool. So he beat Mario Batista after that. Another strikes knockout with some ground and pound fused in. Got a rear naked choke before his UFC debut, and another choke before that.
Yeah, I mean,
man's pretty good all around.
Bro, this dude is just literally off the chain. I'm telling you, like, Trevin Jones, if you go back and look in his career, his last 2 losses he has, both by split decision. His last 3 losses he has by decision. He's only been stopped 1 time. I don't know what his first loss was, but I don't think he got stopped in it. Kind of seems like after that, he was like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going for broke every time as soon as that bell rings. And it's paid off well for him. His last 4 wins, I believe he was an underdog in every single one of these fights. And he's won his last 4 fights. I'm not going to count the no contest as a no contest because he knocked Mirv Valiev out cold. This is just such a wild matchup to me, bro, because both these guys, sneaky good grappling, like I said, and they can both put your lights out with one punch. This is going to be such an awesome fight. This is one of those ones I truly, like, wish I could just not pick. I could just sit back and watch it. But yeah, definitely enjoy this one, my friends. Right now the odds are in favor of they don't have odds on this because this fight just got announced pretty recently. So I'm done sleeping on him. I'm going with Trevin Jones.
Nice. Same.
A&A MMA going to agree on this one. We are both going with the... there's not odds on it. We're both going with Trevin Jones. Let's go ahead and move on to the token heavyweight fight on the card.
On the main card. We have the Vanilla Gorilla, Chase Sherman, the biggest favorite on the card.
Stop.
As he takes on Parker Porter.
I cannot believe that, dude. That is so outrageous. Who are we starting with?
Start with Porter here. He is 11-6. 36 years old, 6 foot tall with a 75-inch reach. Usually tips the scales around the heavyweight limit. He's going to have a win over Josh Parisian.
Porcupata.
Yeah, and in his UFC... No, that wasn't his debut. His debut was to Chris Daukus, which he lost. Came back with the win over Josh Parisian. Damn, we already got a nut shot.
Yep.
Jeez. Yeah, he's pretty on and off. He's fought a lot of tough competition, though. Gabriel Gonzaga. He fought John Jones.
Yeah.
Is that the John Jones?
Yep. That is the John Jones, my friend.
That's nuts. I wonder what he weighed into.
I don't know why you don't remember these things. Like, we make such a big deal out of them one episode, and then the next one you're just like, wow, that's crazy.
Because none of this matters. Time is irrelevant.
All right.
I don't know what that meant, but.
Okay, that was dark. Parker Porter, man. Last time out, you know, I wasn't really expecting him to beat Josh Parisian, to be honest with you. And he put on a great performance. Of course, Daukus got him quickly with those punches in that knee. But
oh, yeah. Isn't that when Josh's face was all fucked up?
Yeah. But this guy's a stoppage fighter himself. His last three wins other than the... I'm sorry. His last five wins other than the the Josh Parisian fight have all been by way of stoppage. He's got five knockouts, three submissions, two decision wins. So he's just been on a stoppage streak when he's fighting lately. Like Slim said, Gabriel Gonzaga and John Jones, that'll teach you a lesson quickly in your fighting career.
Yo, by the way, how tall is this PFL cage?
It does look pretty tall.
They look like lightweights in there.
But yeah, Parker, Porter, these guys are both you know, pretty even when it comes to the striking. I feel like it'll probably be Chase Sherman with the advantage striking-wise. So it'd probably be smarter for Porter, who has the more tricky submission game, to get this one on the ground and work for that.
Let's look at the gorilla here. He's 15-7, 31 years old, 6'4", with a 78-inch reach. So he will have a pretty big 4-inch reach advantage and a 3-inch reach advantage and a 4-inch height advantage, rather. He's fighting out of American Top Team in Missouri. Sorry. He's coming off a loss to Andrei Arlovsky. He did beat Ike Villanueva before that. He knocked him out last year. He fought in bare knuckle for a little bit.
Yeah, interesting. I remember that stint.
This fight was actually supposed to happen in April of last year, and it got canceled. Yeah, I mean, Chase Sherman, we saw him in the UFC at first. He's two wins, two losses, and then he went on a three-fight losing streak. And he had to go outside of the UFC and get some dubs back, and now he's back. And I don't know, he says he switched his training camp around, and now he's better than ever. But the Ike win was really good. The Andre one, not so much.
No.
We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, it's kind of been a tale of two tapes in the comeback. But I don't know, man. I think Chase Sherman, like I said, will have the striking advantage in this one. I think he'll have the power advantage. I think he's got a good jab. He really does. He maybe isn't like the most powerful heavyweight you're ever going to see, but I do think that he's going to have the technique advantage when it comes to the striking. And he's definitely, inside of the UFC, faced you know, some pretty good competition. So right now you can get Chase Sherman as the biggest favorite on the card still at minus 190 over the plus 160 Parker Porter. I'm going with Chase Sherman.
I don't know about this one. I guess I'll take Sherman.
Slim ain't feeling that pick too much, but nonetheless, A&A MMA going to agree on this one. We're both going with the biggest favorite on the card at minus 190, Chase Sherman, to defeat Parker Porter. Let's move on to the co-main event of the evening. How is it this guy the biggest favorite on the card?
Right! Come on!
I'm hammering this money line.
I'll give you $100 tomorrow.
Straight up.
Yeah. Are you going?
I might go to either tomorrow or Saturday morning.
Yeah. Take my money and run with it.
Don't let me turn back.
Yeah. An A&A MMA favorite. He's back.
Oh my god, don't you even fucking think about forgetting it, dude.
I swear.
I will freak out if you forget it.
People keep sleeping on this guy's middle initial, and you can't keep doing it.
Stop.
That.
Stop.
It's Mark.
It's there.
Oh, Madsen.
For a reason.
Jeez.
For a reason.
Like, for real. Mark O. Madsen.
Mark O. Madsen.
Not like O'Malley. No, it's Mark,
Mark O. Dot O period. As yes. in my middle initial
like,
is O.
Like new sentence, Madsen.
Come on now.
The Olympian. Taking on Clay the Carpenter Guida.
The legend.
Yeah. Both these guys are pretty close in age. I didn't know Mark was 36.
Yeah, yeah, the wrestling career. You got
Late. Yeah, you know. All right, we'll start with him, though. The Olympian is 10-0, 36 years old, 5'8", with a 72-inch reach. He is on a, wow, what is this? One, two, three. Oh, he's undefeated.
I'm slim.
I'm a fucking idiot. Two wins in the UFC, one by ground and pound in the first round, and a decision win over Austin Hubbard, and he looked fantastic in both of those. Wrestling, striking, dude's got it all.
Yeah.
Cardio,
hell yeah. Striking, maybe not the most.
Well, yeah, he's getting there.
Definitely getting
but
there.
But he's confident in it because he's like, what are you going to do, take me down if I miss?
Exactly. And, man, his grappling is just something to behold. Like, if he gets on top of you, you're not getting back up the rest of that round. That's just how it's going to be. But Clay the Carpenter Guida has faced top competition through for years and years and years and years and years and years and years. In the UFC, okay?
Right.
This isn't something he hasn't seen before.
No.
So.
He's fought the wrestlers.
Yeah.
He knows what it is, and he is 36-20. 56 MMA fights for the Carpenter. 39 years old, 5'7", with a 70-inch reach. He is coming off a win over Michael Johnson. Pretty odd one in that one. I didn't think he was going to win that, but he did. Lost to Bobby Green, lost to Jim Miller. Beat BJ Penn. Lost to the champ, Charles Oliveira, back in 2018. Beat Joe Zolazon and Eric Coach. That was when he made his return to the lightweight division. And we were like, oh, shit, like, look Clay Guida coming up here. So, yeah, he's been pretty on and off throughout his entire MMA career as a whole. There was a one point between 2010 and 2011. He was on a nice four-fight winning streak. Anthony Pettis, Takanori Gomi, Rafael Dos Anjos, and Shannon Gougerty. That was a really nice little streak. He beat Nate Diaz before. He fought Roger Huerta, Dean Thomas, Gilbert Melendez, Josh Thompson.
It's ridiculous to go through and look at the names that Clay Guida's fought throughout his
career. It's so wild. I'm trying to find his debut in the UFC. UFC 64 in 2006.
Nuts.
Wow.
Clay the Carpenter Guida, man. Grappling, definitely his strong suit. Will that be what he wants to do against Marco Mats? Oh, my God. Bruno Cappalooza.
Jab?
I am leader of the Bruno Cappalooza fan club. Don't let anybody tell you that I'm not the leader of the fan club.
Bro, he almost
I run it.
He almost slipped
I run it.
Jab.
Bruno Cappalooza is knocking Ante Delija out cold. I'm telling you right now.
Didn't he already do it?
Yeah, he did.
Ante's pissed. He's in the back room crying right now.
Cappalooza's cruising. Bro, he hasn't not knocked anybody out this year.
God damn.
Savage goonery.
Who had the belt last year?
At heavyweight? Fuck, I can't remember.
Anyway.
Nonetheless, I'm going with Marco Madsen, bro. I can't believe he's not the biggest favorite.
What is he?
Minus 160.
Stop! Dude, well, give me some options here.
Like what?
Like, I'm a finish.
Marco Madsen by like submission maybe?
Give me both. Give me both.
Marco Madsen to win by submission is plus 550. Marco Madsen to win by knockout is plus 650. Marco Madsen to win by decisions plus 120.
I mean, any of those are pretty good for real.
Yeah, because he could do this one anyway, pretty much.
Dude, I'll give him a stoppage. I mean, I know Clay don't get stopped that often, but man.
If you want just like a straight stoppage.
I'm not going to go around, but.
Damn, you can bet on first minute finish since when? Yeah, I can't find it right now, but yeah. Good odds there for Marco Madsen on the betting side.
Love that. So how many times? What is Marco's finishes looking like?
I mean, he's got a lot of wins by decision.
Two in his
last knockout.
Two in his last three. One submission. One ground and pound. Yeah, I mean that's great.
A&A MMA going with Marco Madsen to defeat Clay Guida. Let's move on to the main event of the evening in the middleweight division. Possible title implications.
Could be. We got the Killer Gorilla, Jerry Kananier, taking on the replacement. Kelvin Gastelum. That should be his new nickname.
Pretty much.
We'll start with Kelvin. He's 17-7. He's still only 29 years old. I feel like he's been in the UFC forever. 5'9" with a 71.5-inch reach. He is coming off a loss to Robert Whittaker. He beat Ian Heinisch before that, and then was on a 3-fight losing streak. Izzy in the interim title fight that he lost, so it was one of the best fights of all time. Darren Till, split decision loss, and he got heel hooked by Jack Hermanson. That was absolutely insane.
That was still such a
shocker. I have this really cool stat from Numbers MMA that they tweeted today that I want to read to you. One second here.
I wasn't rushing you.
Okay. So Calvin Gastelum's first 5 fights after returning to middleweight, 6 knockdowns for 0 knockdowns against, plus 19 significant strike differential, and in that time, he went 3-1 with 1 no contest. That's his first fight, 5 fights at middleweight. His last 5 fights at middleweight, 0 knockdowns versus 4 times he's gotten knocked down, negative 93 significant strike differential, and he's 1-4. That's rough. What the heck happened to Kelvin?
I don't know, man. I am not sure what exactly went down with Kelvin, but you got to look at the pros of what he does well. That left hand is a laser.
It's money.
It can put you out.
Yeah.
Very tricky grappling as well. People forget that Kelvin was a great wrestler in college, and he's a 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu guy too, so he's got the tricky jiu-jitsu game.
True.
Has it been working for him well lately? No. But I want you to think of this. Kelvin's faced, in his last 5 opponents, 3 really good strikers, I'd say. I'd say Ian Heinisch and Jack Hermanson, and not the best strikers. But Robert Whittaker, Darren Till, and Adesanya, probably the 3 best strikers in the division.
Sure.
And they all beat Kelvin.
I mean, Kanye's up there.
It's, yeah, but not above any of those 3 guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it just almost feels like lately Kelvin's kryptonite is the strikers who can keep the fight standing, the guys with good takedown defense. At the same time, I do think Kelvin needs to get this fight to the ground.
I would have to agree on that. And we'll go with this guy's maybe kryptonite, maybe, I don't know. Jared Cannonier. 13-5, 37 years old, 5'11", with a 77.5-inch reach, fighting out of the MMA lab. He's coming off a loss to Robert Whittaker as well. did Kelvin come out? Yeah, Kelvin was also. He was on a 3-fight winning streak, though. David Branch, Anderson Silva, and Jack Hermanson.
Yeah, I remember everybody was just like so hyped up at that point.
Yeah, because all 3 of those were by finish. Only he and Conor McGregor in the modern UFC era have 3 knockouts in 3 different weight classes in the UFC. That's absolutely insane. I don't even need to talk about his time at heavyweight. Like heavyweight, really. It's what he's done at middleweight has been so impressive. 3-1.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely feels like this is his best weight class. He looks the best. You know, when this guy fights, you see that he still has that heavyweight power brought to middleweight.
Yeah.
Obviously, like I said, not the most technical striker, not as technical as Izzy, not as technical as Robert Whittaker or Darren Till. But nonetheless, as Slim said, he's up there with the best strikers in the division because of the power he has. And he's looked good in his last 5 fights. He's only lost to Whittaker and Reyes.
Reyes was a light heavyweight. I mean, like I said, I don't care about counting that.
Right. I don't know, man. I think this is a good fight. I think people are sleeping on Kelvin a little bit, but I do still think Jared Cannonier wins this one.
Agreed.
ANA MMA going with Jared Cannonier, the minus 145 favorite, to beat the plus 125, Kelvin Gastelum. That is your official rundown for UFC on ESPN, Cannonier versus Gastelum, a.k.a. UFC on ESPN 29, which is the hashtag I will be using on Twitter. Make sure you guys follow us at A&A_MMA. That's the letter A, the word and, the letter A underscore MMA. I'm really trying to run those numbers up. Please come kick it with me on fight night. Just want to run down our picks real quick because sometimes we forget, and this is the part that I go to remember who we picked. In the welterweight division, both of us going with Ramiz Brahimaj to defeat Sasha Polatnikov. In the lightweight division, both of us going with Roosevelt Roberts to defeat Ignacio Bahamandes. In the light heavyweight division, both of us going with William Knight to defeat Fabio Chiron, right?
Yeah.
In the women's bantamweight division, both of us going with Bea Malecki to defeat Josiane Nunes. In the bantamweight division, both of us going with the underdog here, Domingo Pilarte, to defeat Brian Kelleher. In the featured preliminary bout taking place in the featherweight division, first disagreement of the night, I'm going with Luis Saldana. Slim's going with Austin Lingo. That's your preliminary card on ESPN2 and ESPN Plus. Moving on to the main card on ESPN and ESPN Plus. In the bantamweight division, I forget how, because it's all mixed up. In the flyweight division, is this the first one we talked about, or was it?
Yeah.
Okay. I went with Alexandre Pantoja. Slim went with Brandon Royval. In the lightweight division, both of us picked Vince Pichel to defeat Austin Hubbard. In the bantamweight division, both of us went with Trevin Jones to defeat Saeed Yakub Kakramanov. In the heavyweight division, both of us went with Chase Sherman to defeat Parker Porter. In the lightweight division, both of us went with Clay Guida to defeat Mark O. Madsen. And in the middleweight division, both of us going with Jared Cannonier to defeat Kelvin Gastelum. That is your official rundown for this card. Good luck, my friends, on the betting side. And for everybody not betting, I hope you enjoy watching the fights, my friends. This has been an ANA MMA production. Shout out to my cat Spyro. Look at you sleeping over there, bubby. Can't wait. Come ghetto. Cute little cat.
Yeah. We'll be back next week. What is the card next week?
Barbosa versus Chikadze.
Ooh.
The ultimate finally, fighter finale as well.
Yeah, finally get to figure out who is the best kickboxer.
Kevin Lee versus Daniel Rodriguez.
And the PFL featherweight and light heavyweight championship.
Yeah.
So. Or semifinal.
Ooh. I'm excited about this one, too. I didn't even see this. Andre Petrosky's fighting in next week.
Who?
Andre Petrosky, the guy that Brian Battle choked out to get to the finale.
Oh, yeah.
That everybody thought was going to win it.
Mm-hmm.
He's taking on Michael Gilmore, that guy that stepped in on short notice.
Yeah. I've seen that.
That's awesome. I'm excited for that one.
That's another news piece I forgot to mention. I suck at my job.
Boo! Boo this man! But, yeah, that is all we got for you guys. So I hope everybody has a good night. My fucking shoulder's hurting, man. I need to fucking ice this thing and go to sleep.
I'm going to rub ice on it.
Ooh, will you put the Asper cream on me?
Icy hot.
All right, y'all. Hope everybody has a good weekend. Enjoy yourselves, you little low-down, dirty scoundrels.
Go preseason Browns.
Oh, catch me and Slim in the Muni lot, 5:30 sharp. Okay? We will be in that bitch when it opens at 7 o'clock. Flat top hibachi grill. Bacon, egg, and cheeses getting ready on the King's Hawaiian buns. I'm going to be 3 blunts deep, 6 beers deep, ready to kick it. Okay? Catch me in the Muni lot, ready to rock. Giants, I don't care if it's a preseason game. You're about to get your little shit rolled.
Big time.
You fools.
Big time.
Peace.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.